Bible reading this week is read for us by Keris.
Hello, today's reading is Matthew chapter 9 verses 18 to 26. A dead girl and a sick woman. While he was saying this, a ruler came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who had been subjected to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said, "your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed from that moment. When Jesus entered the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd, he said, "Go away, the girl is not dead but asleep." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread through all the region.
Thank you, Keris. So let's pray. Our Father God, would you speak to us in a fresh way today through this passage? Would you open our ears to hear what you're saying to us? I pray that we might be receptive. In Jesus' name, amen. So this isn't really a kind of technical exegesis or unpacking of this passage, but it's more like a kind of, I suppose you might call it a prophetic reading of this. I was having a retreat day and I was meditating on this passage, and I just felt like God sort of showed me something new in it, which I'd never seen before. And it just spoke to me about really my ministry and also our ministry as the church here in Anglesey. So I kind of wanted to share that with you today. I hope that it speaks to you. So if you look around, it sometimes feels like people are in mourning for the death of the church in the UK and especially here in Wales. And the church sometimes seems to be on her last legs. And people sort of remember the good old days when the chapels were absolutely packed and there was a massive Sunday school and everyone went to Sunday school and there was choir on a Monday, Band of Hope on a Tuesday, Bible class on a Wednesday, women's meeting on a Thursday and youth group on a Friday, and everyone went to everything. And chapels and churches were like the heart of the community and the church seemed alive and it seemed vital. But things have changed. And the church in this country over the last century has seen so much decline. You know, we talk about the Welsh revival. It's only less than 120 years ago. We talk about the heady days of the Welsh revival. And actually, the church here in Wales has declined even more than in the rest of the UK. And it's not everywhere. And there are pockets of growth here and there. But all in all, if you look at the statistics, it does seem like a bleak picture. And for my master's dissertation, I decided to study this, particularly here in Wales. And I interviewed some people in Bethesda, where I was living at the time, about the reasons for this decline. And I asked them, why do they not go? Why do they not go to church or chapel? And the results were absolutely fascinating. But the main thing that really stood out to me was that every person that I interviewed used to go. They used to go to church or chapel at some point, but they'd all stopped going for some reason. Some people stopped because their church or their chapel closed and they never just started going to a new one. Some people had like a change of circumstances in their life and they lost touch with church and just never went back. A lot of people stopped after childhood or adolescence and they just drifted away or decided it wasn't for them or it wasn't keeping them there. And some people were hurt by the church. And these stories are replicated again and again with all kinds of people that we meet all over Anglesey, all over Wales. And I'm sure all of us know people who used to go to church and don't go anymore. And it can be quite depressing, this, when you look at the numbers and you look at the buildings being turned into flats or carpet warehouses or pubs even. And you think, what's happened? And you think maybe, perhaps we're a bit like this synagogue leader named in Mark's gospel as Jairus, coming to Jesus with this kind of desperation. She's dying. And we wonder, will he come in time? Will he come in time to save her? Please revive our church, Lord. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. And there's a bit of a difference between the accounts as told in Matthew and then Mark and Luke. Because in Mark and Luke, we're told that she's dying at the beginning of the story. But in Matthew, the synagogue leader tells Jesus she's actually already dead. And with the church in the UK at the moment, it does feel in many ways like the mourners and the wailers have moved in. And there are a lot of people that think that what we're doing is pointless. She's dead. The church is dead. Why bother anymore? Why bother? And some Sundays it can feel like, why am I bothering? Why are we doing this? And you sort of look around at the congregation and you think, oh, there's not many of us, not as many as they used to be. And we're not as young as we used to be. And, you know, when many church buildings are decaying, when there's not much money in the bank, when there seems to be no future, it can feel like, you know, why am I bothering to turn up here again, to sing these songs again, to preach this word again? Doesn't feel like anyone's listening. And when COVID came and it meant we couldn't even sing together, we couldn't even share communion together, we couldn't even gather, it makes you think, what future is there? What future is there for the church, for the people of God in this land? But this story gives me hope of Jairus' daughter. I believe that reports of the death of the church here in Wales and in the UK have been greatly exaggerated. Jesus goes in and he says to the mourners and wailers, go away, go away. She's not dead, but asleep. And people might laugh at us as they laugh at Jesus, but let this give you hope. She's not dead, but asleep, he says. And I believe that Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, does have power to heal. He does have power to restore, to revitalize. He does have power to resurrect. And in Mark's gospel, when the naysayers come and tell Jairus that she's dead, Jesus turns to the distraught father, Jairus, and he says these words, don't be afraid, just believe. Don't be afraid, just believe. But it takes faith, doesn't it? It takes faith to ignore the words of death, to ignore the shrieks of the mourners and wailers, to ignore the laughter of the crowd, to ignore even the evidence that's before our very eyes when we see death and decline in empty buildings. But we need to look to the face of Jesus as he says, don't be afraid, just believe. And as his church, Jesus is calling us. He's waking us up. He's taking us by the hand. He's calling us back to life. He's commanding us to obey him and get up. Little girl, get up, says Jesus. Jesus is calling us back to life. He says, you are the daughter of the King, my church. You have so much potential, so much hope, so much joy, so much life in you. Get up. Be alive again. God is not finished with his church here in Anglesey. She's not dead. Maybe sleeping. She's not dead. But in this good news story, this gospel story, we read that God does not just care about the church, the establishment, the religious institution. He also cares about those that we meet on the road. People like this woman in the passage. Now, her bleeding would have made her unclean, so she would not have been able to worship in the synagogue for 12 years. And those who might seem beyond the pale, so far from God, so unclean that they've not darkened the door of a church for years. People who think that church could never be for them but they're not that kind of people, or they're not good enough. People who've gone to all kinds of solutions, like this woman, to try and cope with their lives, whether that be self-help or relationships or addictions or whatever, and they found that none of them work, none of them solves the underlying problem. And I believe that Jesus is calling us to people like this, people who we meet on the road, people who are suffering, people who are desperate for some kind of healing, but would just never think to come to church. Jesus is on the way to the synagogue leader's house, but he lets himself be interrupted. And it says in verse 22 that he turns and he sees her. Jesus is calling us to unexpected encounters. He's calling us to stop in the middle of what we're doing and allow God's power to work in and through us. And these won't be Sunday morning encounters. They'll be Tuesday afternoon encounters or Friday night encounters. It might be in the street or in the pub or in the supermarket or where we work or in cafes or homes or on the phone or on social media. Jesus calls us to let our days be interrupted by people that we might not have noticed, because there are people that we will meet on the road, and he wants to bring them life and healing and peace and joy, like he did with this woman who seemed hopeless. What if we were to turn and see, to turn and see that person at the supermarket checkout for who they are in God's eyes, to turn and see that homeless person on the street for who they are in God's eyes, to turn and really see that child, see them through the eyes of Jesus, somebody made in the image of God. And what's significant here is that Jesus declares that this woman with the bleeding is also a daughter. I'm sure that when Matthew wrote this down, he wants us to hear that echo of the two daughters here, the synagogue leader's daughter, child of the establishment, grown up in church, and the woman with a bleeding who's not been to church for 12 years because she's not allowed. Jesus says to her in verse 22, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has healed you." She's not part of the religious establishment. She's not welcome there, but she is a daughter. And she also is capable of immense faith. She also is worthy of a miracle, worthy of Jesus's attention, worthy of his love and concern. So here we have two daughters, one Jesus, one older, one younger, one part of the established religious inheritance, one totally outside it, one meeting that is anticipated and asked for, one that's unexpected. Two daughters, two restorations to life and health and wholeness. Two daughters, but one Jesus. And this Jesus is calling all of us to ministry. Ministry in God's church here in Anglesey, as the people of God that he wants to revive and restore back to life. But he's also calling us to ministry outside the walls of the church, to the outsiders, to the broken, to the hurting, to the excluded, to the people we meet on the road. In Matthew and Mark and Luke, these two stories are intertwined. They're a sandwich. They're together. They're part of the same story. And we're part of the same story. We minister to people on the road. And as we do that, the church of God is restored and revived. And so my prayer today is that God would increase our faith to be like this woman and to be like this synagogue leader, coming to Jesus, knowing that he holds the power of resurrection, or just touching the fringe of his cloak. And so we pray that our church, that Anglesey, that Wales, that the earth may be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Amen. We're going to close in a moment, but let's pray before we do that. Lord, I pray, increase our faith today. You say, don't let your hearts be troubled. Just believe. Lord God, I pray that you would help us to turn and see as you turned and saw that woman. Help us to turn and see the people that you've placed in our path, people we might not have noticed before. And I pray that you will show us how we can minister to our friends and family in the church, and also to those we meet on the road. And we pray that you would revive your church. In Jesus' name, amen. Our final hymn